Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, July 23rd, 2026. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. President of Idaho Sheriff's Association, Samuel Hulsey of Bonneville County, tells lawmakers participation with ICE should be a local decision, not a statewide one. Idaho women saying anti-abortion group should retract defamatory person-specific comments about them on their website. Independent candidate for Governor Idaho, for Idaho Governor John Stegner visits Moscow. We'll have an interview. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Idaho Secretary of State's office has announced it will accept proposed for and against arguments on the Reproductive Freedom and Privacy Act for the official voter pamphlet until Friday, July 31st. The Reproductive Freedom and Privacy Act will appear on the statewide November 3rd ballot as Proposition 1. Select arguments supporting and opposing the proposition will be included alongside the ballot language in the official voter pamphlet, which will be mailed to every Idaho household before the November general election. The deadline for submitting suggested language to the Secretary of State's office is Friday, July 31st at 11 p.m. Pacific time. Meanwhile, three women who spoke out about seeking abortions in Idaho during fatal fetal diagnoses are demanding an anti-abortion website retract defamatory statements about them. According to the Idaho Capital Sun, attorneys for the reproductive rights legal group Amplify Legal sent a letter to the website Live Action asking for the retraction of posts about 13 women who had previously made public statements about their experiences with Idaho's severe anti-abortion laws, which could result in a 5-year prison sentence for a doctor who performs an abortion to save the health of a mother at any stage of pregnancy. Jennifer Atkins, Kayla Smith, and Jillian St. Michael were plaintiffs in the 2024 lawsuit challenging Idaho's abortion ban on providing abortion care when the health of the mother is at risk or in cases of fatal fetal diagnoses. The Idaho Capital Sun reports most of the statements about the women on the Live Action website claimed their pregnancies were not dangerous and the abortions were unnecessary. The letter to Live Action founder Lila Rose and assistant editor Nancy Flanders said, "The result of such defamation is devastating. Megan Kling, whose story is described in detail below, has feared for her life and the lives of her husband and children as a result of Live Action News' and Mrs. Flanders' actions. Other clients have received death threats as a direct result of Live Action News' conduct." The letter from Amplify Legal requested a response by Wednesday, July 29th. The president of the Idaho Sheriff's Association told an Idaho Legislative Interim Committee today local law enforcement should make decisions on whether or not to work with ICE, not state lawmakers. Bonneville County Sheriff Samuel Hulsey, whose county includes Idaho Falls, told lawmakers on the legislature's Committee on Federalism, quote, "What I want to make clear is that it is the responsibility of the federal government to protect our nation from illegal immigration. We have a co-responsibility to ensure that they are effective in their jobs, but it is not local enforcement's job to enforce the immigration policy of the nation." The Sheriff's Association opposed House Bill 659 during the last legislative session that would have required local sheriff's departments and police departments to apply for 287G agreements with ICE. The bill from Republican Representative Dale Hawkins of Fernwood passed 41-27 in the Idaho House in March, but did not get a hearing in the Senate. Hulsey told legislators today, "There are capacity issues at county jails and local budget restraints." He said Idaho counties, tribal governments, and local law enforcement agencies should have the flexibility to determine whether participation aligns with their operational capabilities, public safety priorities, and the needs of their communities. While this has been a hot-button subject for the Idaho legislature recently, this approach reflects Idaho's long-standing commitment to local control, recognizing that government is most effective when the decisions are made by those closest to the people they serve. Noting some Idaho sheriff's departments have already voluntarily entered into agreements with ICE, Hulsey said, this existing collaboration ensures federal immigration enforcement responsibilities are fulfilled without requiring local agencies to assume those duties directly. Mandating 287G participation fails to recognize the diversity of Idaho counties. Sheriffs must prioritize core public safety responsibilities, and the decisions to enter into federal agreements must remain a local one. Hawkins, who is on the Federalism Committee, said he did write his bill to allow local law enforcement to exit their ICE partnership if they could not comply with the agreement or meet all of ICE's requirements. He said it did give that exit, and all they had to do was say, this is why we can't, and they wouldn't have to. The family of a transgender teenager who died by suicide in January is now speaking out about how Idaho treats people who are different. The family of Mae Pollard told NBC Television Network how Idaho's laws are targeting transgender people and how they affected their daughter. In a profanity-laced statement, Mae Pollard's father, Joseph Pollard, said there is a huge amount of animosity every single day thrown at trans kids. In 2023, Idaho lawmakers passed a measure which requires public schools to have separate bathrooms, locker rooms, and overnight accommodations for students based on their sex at birth. The law also mandated schools must provide accommodations for students who are unwilling or unable to use multi-occupancy restrooms or changing rooms which align with their sex at birth. When transgender citizens challenged the law, a district court said Idaho had a legitimate interest to provide privacy protection, and the people bringing the suit were unlikely to succeed. It also said the law did not cause any harm because it was not irreparable, because the law requires an alternative accommodation. At that time, Idaho Attorney General Raul Labrador celebrated the law, but did not comment on Mae Pollard's suicide. Labrador said the student's death was a personal tragedy, but his office does not comment on the private circumstances of individuals involved in litigation. The state has in recent years passed laws which target transgender people, including barring trans women and girls from participating in high school and college sports, placing limitations on gender-affirming care for minors, and in the latest law, made it a crime for transgender people to use restrooms or changing rooms that match their gender identity in most public areas. In the ninth grade, Mae Pollard told her father she was experiencing suicidal thoughts and needed to transition. Mae did have access to the nurse's restroom at Boise High School or had a restroom in a different campus building, but she felt that was alienating to her. In an affidavit, Mae Pollard wrote, "While I am transgender, I don't view it as the defining feature of who I am as a person. I just want to fit in. It is upsetting to think that I may have to go through the rest of high school without access to something as basic as the ability to use the same restroom as everyone else." In a sit-in at Governor Brad Little's office, Mae's mother, Elise Thorpe, warned lawmakers of the potential impacts of the law. Thorpe said of Little signing the bill into law, "Children are going to die. We tell the legislators that and they dismiss it. I guess they think it's hyperbole, or they think it's hysteria, or they think it's an acceptable outcome. Probably some mix of those things, so I don't understand why there is an unwillingness to connect these laws to the outcomes. It was right there from the start." And you're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Love's Kombucha is proud to support KRFP Radio Free Moscow. Love's Kombucha is a fun, lively, fermented probiotic tea that is craft brewed right here in Moscow. For more information, visit loveskombucha.com.
Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by the Moscow Food Co-op, established in 1973. The Moscow Food Co-op is a cooperatively owned grocery store that serves as a community hub and champions healthy, local, inclusive, and sustainable food and goods.
Wildfires in northeastern Washington and Oregon have spread smoke and haze around the region. The National Weather Service has issued fire and air quality alerts for the Palouse and the Lewiston-Clarkston Valley because of the fires, according to National Weather Service meteorologist Joey Clevenger. The haze is mostly coming from fires in the Kaiser Canyon area on the Colville Reservation, northwest of Spokane, and from fires in northern Oregon. Clevenger said the wildfire haze has forced the agency to issue an air quality alert for eastern Washington because of the region's air quality is unhealthy for people who are sensitive to smoke. Clevenger said the haze could begin to clear up later today or tomorrow, and daytime temperatures could begin to drop. There is also a small chance of thunderstorms from weather systems moving into the region. Clevenger said fire risks continue to plague the region because of the dry conditions and high temperatures. He said wind gusts 20 to 30 miles per hour could also affect any wildfire starts. The Lewis-Clark Valley had a second day of temperatures above 100 degrees Fahrenheit yesterday. The high yesterday was 101 in the LC Valley. The triple-digit temperatures could continue into tomorrow. The Latah County Sheriff's Office said in a Facebook post, residents should avoid any activities which involve using fire. Independent candidate for Idaho Governor John Stegner was in Moscow for what he called the Do the Work Tour at the Latah County Fairgrounds yesterday, attended by just under 100 people in one of the smaller rooms at the Latah County Fairgrounds. Stegner is a former state Supreme Court justice, and previous to that, he served as a second district judge presiding in Moscow. He is running against incumbent Republican Brad Little and Democratic nominee Terry Pickens. KRFP citizen journalist Brenda Cox spoke with John Stegner about his run for governor before yesterday's campaign event at the fairgrounds.
What is your position on transferring the management of endangered species to the states?
So I think we have to take a long, hard look at what that would cost the state and whether those resources are readily available before we even undertake any idea of transferring those responsibilities, because I haven't had a chance to study this issue much, but the little I do understand of it is that the costs would be transferred as well, and I don't think we should be taking on new responsibilities for the federal government unless and until we can find that we have the resources to do that.
What is your position on the reversal of the Simpson plan? That is the holdoff of the litigation of salmon habitat for 10 years that Trump reversed, and different tribes would have gotten a lot of money over the years to come up with plans for management of salmon and breaching the dams.
Well, that's a very complicated question. My family built a barge loading facility on the Port of Wilma across the river from Clarkston, Washington, that we sold back in the 90s. But slackwater has been an important economic boon to the region, and I don't know that I have sufficient understanding of that issue to comment on it in detail. Right now, I understand it's a long-standing problem, and I would devote my attention to it if and when I'm elected governor.
Is climate change real?
Yes.
Go ahead and expand on that.
Well, I don't think there's much debate about that. I think simple answers to simple questions, or at least on which the science is not at issue, can be answered simply.
Okay. Which of Governor Little's laws would you like to reverse? How do you feel about K through 12 censorship, no political flags in the classroom, or the Idaho legislature banning no flag flying in Boise, the trans flag or the pride flag on municipal properties in Boise and in the classrooms?
So you asked about Governor Little's laws. I think the first one I'd like to talk about is vouchers. I think transferring money to educational institutions and homeschoolers who are competing with the public schools is anathema to our Constitution. I realize that the Idaho Supreme Court recently ruled that it wasn't, but they presumed that we're fulfilling our constitutional obligation to provide a general, uniform, and thorough education for our K-12 students, and I don't think we are. And so that's the first one I would be concerned with.
Yeah, that was House Bill 93.
And let's talk about everyone is welcome here. I think everyone is welcome here. I think that's a simple statement that we ought to provide to every public school student. What do they want to say? Everyone is not welcome here? I can't believe that we're fighting over the idea that everyone would be welcome in the public schools. Everyone is welcome. I want to be a governor that welcomes everyone, and I want it to be known that everyone is welcome in the public schools if I were governor.
Yes. School teacher Sarah Anama, she had the hands of different colors in her classroom, and it was requested that she take that down.
And she chose not to. And she's a University of Idaho grad, which I'm proud to say. And it's just unfathomable to me that we would tell a public school teacher that a poster saying everyone is welcome here with multicolored hands should be taken down and should not be displayed in a public school classroom.
Okay. What are your thoughts on ICE? Are you in favor of abolishing ICE?
Well, I want to say with regard to immigration that it's not generally a state issue, it's a national issue. But having said that, I agree that with the president that criminals who are here, who have committed serious crimes here and who are not legally here, should be deported. But I think we should also be very concerned with overreach. I'm distressed and disheartened that we have ICE killing American citizens with impunity. I think we're at a very bad point in time when that can and does happen.
How do you feel about data centers?
Well, I think we should think long and hard before we devote the energy and water to data centers before we actually undertake the construction of them. I think there's a very important trade-off for positioning data centers in Idaho, and I would like to do that cautiously and only upon the receipt of the cost-benefit analysis that weighs in favor of doing that.
Okay. How about the war on diversity with the censorship laws across college campuses where professors can't even talk about critical race theory or diversity or equity unless it's in classroom curriculum?
Well, I have three daughters. I think diversity and equity and inclusion would be what I would hope for my daughters and every child in this country and in this state. I just don't think we can whitewash history in the way that some people want to whitewash history. We can't learn unless we understand our history and how we got to where we are. So I'm opposed to banning any theory that has gained credibility in the main academy. And I question how we got where we are, but I'm not willing to close the door on any ideas that people want to know and need to know in order to know how to advance our society.
How do you feel about the Idaho bathroom ban law for trans people?
So, one of the things I think the legislature is doing right now is crafting solutions in search of a problem. And I think that's a good example of the trans bathroom bill.
Okay. Would you like to add anything or talk about your platform?
So I'm running for governor because I'm fighting for Idaho, the Idaho I know and love, and want to preserve as best we can the idea of fiscal responsibility. We seem to be in a race to defund education, especially public education, and I don't agree with those ideas, and I think we should stand firm in fighting efforts to defund education in the way that we're doing it.
How are you better suited for the office of governor than your Democrat counterpart?
So I'm not in a position to tell you why you shouldn't vote for one of my competitors. I'm trying to build the strongest campaign I can, and I'm trying to do it in a way that sheds light on what can be possible. I want to be a governor who promotes a better future for Idaho. And we're building a strong campaign. We've raised over $400,000, and I think we're moving in a direction that will benefit Idaho. And we're happy with the contrast, and ready, willing, and able to go to an election and see who prevails.
That was independent candidate for Idaho Governor John Stegner speaking with KRFP citizen journalist Brenda Cox at the Latah County Fairgrounds yesterday. Stegner, who is a former Idaho Supreme Court justice, is running for governor against Republican incumbent Brad Little, who is seeking a third term, and Democratic nominee Terry Pickens. Magistrate Judge Tristan Poorman has sentenced former Shoshone County Sheriff Holly Lindsay on an inattentive driving charge to 4 days in jail and 2 years probation. Poorman sentenced Lindsay, a 21-year veteran of law enforcement, after she pleaded guilty to inattentive driving following an off-duty crash in October 2025, in which Lindsay struck a post at a local gas station with her vehicle. The unsupervised probation conditions include not using alcohol or drugs, submitting to blood alcohol tests, completion of any treatment programs, and having an interlock device on her vehicle for 1 year. Lindsay said she has a heavy heart and hoped she left the sheriff's office in better condition than she entered it, In a social media post, Lindsay said, "I have watched as this county and sheriff's office has constantly strived to improve upon itself. We stand by our family, friends, and neighbors through the good times and the hard times. I ask for continued support of our Shoshone County Sheriff's Office and the team that will continue to provide law enforcement excellence for many years to come." After a couple of recent leadership changes in the Shoshone County's Sheriff Department, William Eddy was appointed to fill Lindsay's sheriff's job. Eddy then resigned, and Shoshone County Commissioners appointed Sean Ware as sheriff.
With the new school year approaching, Washington's doctors say now's a good time to schedule an annual checkup for your child. Known as well child visits, yearly checkups ensure kids are on track with vaccines, growth, and overall development so they're ready physically and emotionally to go back to school. Dr. Yolanda Evans is a professor of pediatrics at Seattle Children's. She wants families to know that with permission, healthcare providers can work with schools to provide the best care possible for their children.
We really do want to partner with you to help meet your health and wellness goals for your whole family. So please come to those well child visits each year. It's a great opportunity to ask questions, to gather new information, and to screen for things ahead of time.
Evans adds it's best to catch any issues early so there's time to set up any needed support before the school year begins. Dr. Rhonda Randall with United Healthcare says checkups are not just about physical health. She points to research from the CDC showing about 1 in 5 children between the ages of 3 and 17 has had a behavioral or mental health diagnosis. She explains mental health struggles can look different depending on the age.
For a younger child, you might see issues with behavior or separation anxiety. Older children might have issues with stress or attention or friendships or grades.
Randall adds mental health concerns have been increasing in children in the last couple years, data that's backed up by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. She says it's helpful to catch any issues early so kids can get the support they need. I'm Isabel Charlet, Washington News Service.
And that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather for the Moscow-Pullman area, mostly clear with patchy smoke tonight, low 58. Patchy smoke before 9 a.m. tomorrow, and then patchy smoke again after 4 p.m. Sunny, high 94. Mostly clear, low 58 Friday night. Mostly clear Saturday and Saturday night, high 88, low 53. West winds 5 to 10 on Saturday with gusts up to 20. On Saturday night, west winds 5 to 15, gusts up to 25. Mostly clear Sunday through Tuesday with highs 84 and lows 52. Current temperature 91 degrees. The Washington Department of Ecology real-time air monitoring shows the air quality at this hour is moderate in Pullman and unhealthy for sensitive groups in Clarkston and Spokane. The Idaho Department of Environmental Quality real-time air monitoring shows the air quality at this hour in Moscow is moderate, but just on the verge of the unhealthy for sensitive groups category. It is unhealthy for sensitive groups in Lewiston and Troy, and the rest of northern and north-central Idaho, moderate. Current temperature in Lewiston is 97. There's a heat advisory in effect in the Lewiston-Clarkston Valley until 9 p.m. There's also a special weather statement for Lewiston. A strong thunderstorm will impact portions of west central Nez Perce, east central Garfield, and southeastern Whitman and central Lesotho counties through 6:45 p.m. tonight. At 5:38 p.m., Doppler radar was tracking a strong thunderstorm 15 miles southwest of Clarkston Heights, or 18 miles southwest of Clarkston, moving northeast at 20 miles per hour. It had winds in excess of 40 miles per hour and pea-sized hail. Gusty winds could knock down tree limbs and blow around unsecured objects. Local impacted highways include U.S. Highway 95 in Idaho between mile markers 311 and 313 and between mile markers 317 and 319, U.S. Highway 12 in Idaho between mile markers 0 and 3, U.S. Highway 12 in Washington between mile markers 423 and 434, and U.S. Highway 195 in Washington between mile markers 1 and 4. If outdoors in that area, consider seeking shelter inside a building. Flashpoints is coming up next, and at 7:30 we'll have Appearing Locally, where we feature music from artists that are appearing in the Moscow Pullman area. And Afrosonic Taxi syndicated music show is on at 8. Stand by for more. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. I'm Lee Robartis. Jim Roach and Brenda Cox assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening.